1 o'clock hour, Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app as well. Our man, Alan Bell, 24/7, CBS Sports Line is with us. Alan, good to talk to you, my friend. We can bet on football again. I'm so excited.
I know, man. First off, Chase, good to talk to you too, buddy. Good to hear your voice. And you're right, man. We have made it through the Sahara Desert. Football is back. Football betting is back. It's fantastic, man.
I saw our friend Rick Merritt tweeted a gif of him to his baseball bets, and it's the gif of dropping Woody in the box from Toy Story, putting it away.
Yeah, that's awesome, yeah.
So obviously, exactly the move. This is just kind of wetting the whistle a little bit. You know, not a full slate like we're going to see next week, but with, I'll start tomorrow in Ireland, Northwestern taking on Nebraska. Nebraska laying 9.5. I like the Cornhuskers in this one, but is that too many points, or do you think they'll be okay?
No, I think they're going to be fine. I'm with you. And we've seen this number drop, right? And I'm not really sure why. I mean, there's Nebraska fans are all over it in Dublin. They're out there. We said Nebraska, you could put a game on the moon and they would sell it out, right? Like, they're going to show up. Look, I think that betting teams like Nebraska in these games, and what I mean by them is they know what time it is, and Scott Frost exactly knows what time it is that he has to win. And I don't know how Nebraska's season is going to go overall, but I like teams and coaches in early games where they're on the hot seat. And I think Nebraska is going to take every opportunity to score every single touchdown that they can and put up points. And look, man, I mean, nothing against Northwestern. I like Pat Fitzgerald, good football coach, but Nebraska, especially at that number and what we've seen it drop, yeah, there's a ton of value there.
And a game that, I call a degenerate special that I've been looking at, Charlotte taking on Florida Atlantic, and this line has moved quite a bit. It's been dropping, but Charlotte getting 5.5. I like the 49ers.
Yeah, I do too, man. You know, Will Hilly and everything that they've done there, like, you know, they're a good, just solid, fundamental football team, and I don't know what we're going to get out of FAU this year. Lane Kiffin obviously has not been there for a while. This is not your old FAU team. Look, I'm with you there. And I'll say this, you know, it's not a bad strategy, you know, to look where you can find your value with teams that are getting points, especially in matchups like this. It's not going to work for every game, obviously. We just talked about Nebraska and taking points with it. But, yeah, man, like, if you give me a good, solid, fundamental team and you're giving me more than 3 points, yeah, I'm going to take that usually all day long.
Talking to Alan Bell, as we look at week zero, we have some meat to chew on here with some college football coming up. So, Alan, just give us your thoughts, Vanderbilt, Hawaii.
I love it. All right, so look, you know, you look at it as a travel distance, right? Like, that's obviously a thing here. However, I do like that Vanderbilt went early, got there, got it out of the way, and you know, acclimated to practicing and just being on their time. Look, I don't trust in Hawaii whatsoever. They've got stadium issues. They've got SIDs that are making videos. Like, I don't like any of that. And what I do like about Vanderbilt is they haven't said a word, son. Like, they are on a business trip. Week one, I like Clark Lee, like Barton Simmons, everything that those guys are doing over there. I like Vanderbilt here. Now, the interesting part is that we've seen this number move a ton. Over the last 24, 48 hours, we were sitting, you know, just 2 days ago, Vanderbilt was an 8.5-point favorite. Last night, they go down to only an 8-point favorite. Now we're looking at Vanderbilt being, I believe, a 9.5-point favorite. I think that's where it's sitting right now. Yeah, 9.5. So we've seen, you know, a big thing there. One thing to pay attention to, okay, if you're betting Vanderbilt, which I like 9.5, I'll take him. I'm rolling with him. Plus, I like Vanderbilt special teams, too. I think that absolutely matters in these first, you know, opening season games. What they're going to need to do, remember how football is scored. And what I mean by that is increments of 3, increments of 10. It's been a while since we have bet on football. So while we're sitting at 9.5, understand, 9.5, 10, you're looking at now a touchdown and a field goal. If it gets to 10.5, you're now looking at needing 2 touchdowns, right? So be cognizant of those numbers. But 9.5, yeah, I'll take Vanderbilt.
Alan, at this time of the year, especially for college football, there's not a lot of info out there. There's not a lot of injury info, at least publicly. So when you see a line move like that, is it because there's information behind the scenes on injuries, people, you know, focusing in on the game a little bit more because it's closer? How does that work?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Like, usually that's what it is, right? Because especially with the public, you know, it's not like Vanderbilt is Alabama in terms of people who don't may not even watch college football, right? And that's not against Vanderbilt. There's like five teams in the country that fall in that category, right? So it's not like the public is going crazy loving Vanderbilt. There's generally something there, and it's going to have to fall on Hawaii's side. Now, what that information is, we don't know. The frustrating part, really, is that somebody knows, and somebody's gotten a hold of it, right? So that's the funny part. But, yeah, always pay attention to where line movements are going, especially when you see fluctuation on both sides and then a large spike. That generally means that Hawaii's either going to have suspended players or they're going to be missing players, like things like that. I don't want to put, like, suspensions on guys that, you know, they didn't do it. But there's generally a reason for that, and it's usually guys that aren't playing. So, yeah, keep an eye there. If it continues to go, yeah, there's really smoke with that fire.
Now, what are the odds, Alan, that someone besides a quarterback will win the Heisman this year?
Man, all right, so it's so difficult, right? Like, in college, I'll give it credit. Like, they're better about opening that up, you know, than the NFL. Winning MVP, like, that's just a quarterback award, right? So, you know, you look across the board, like, it's still difficult because you're not going to get – you know, a ton of value on a lot of other guys. Like, it's still quarterback driven. I don't have anything good for you. Like, that, it's not great. Like, your quarterback guys are going to be there at the beginning. And then you just kind of feel out of, okay, who's a wide receiver that could really step out? Who's a running back that could really step out? And think about it. Like, they're going to have to put up, like, Derrick Henry type numbers, right, to take it from a quarterback, because generally, man, quarterbacks just they've got the route to it. So, yeah, I wish I had a better answer for you. Mm-hmm. It's difficult. Yeah.
Now, have the odds has the gap kind of closed in regards to odds of who's going to win the SEC, whether it's Alabama or Georgia?
Well, yeah, okay, so, you know, it's kind of been close between those two. All right, so you got Alabama. They're minus 140 as we speak. Georgia plus 140. And those two numbers have really kind of stuck together, right? Like, it's kind of been those. But you look at below that, all right, the third best odds to win the SEC is Texas A&M at plus 1,600. Like, that's a crazy, crazy delta between the top two and then everybody else. So, no, we haven't seen much change. Alabama's been your favorite. They'll continue to be it. The difficult part is that Alabama got a pretty tough schedule. Georgia, they get past Oregon, which we all think that they will. Not saying that their schedule's easy, but it's definitely easier than Alabama. So if you like Alabama to win the SEC, let Georgia beat up on Oregon. Let Georgia beat up on a couple guys. Get that number down just a little bit, and then jump on Alabama.
Now, have you seen any numbers change in regards to the Big Ten, whether it's Ohio State, whether it's Michigan, Michigan State? You can throw any other team in there, any other top team in there from the Big Ten.
Yeah, so, you know, Ohio State's been your favorite. They sit right now at -650 to win the Big Ten. Michigan second, +750. And they keep going on the list. Wisconsin, 1,200. Penn State, 1,400. And you can continue to go. So, no, like, we haven't seen much change there. Like, the SEC and the Big Ten, and really kind of college football as a whole, it's very chalky in terms of these, you know, big future sets, because look at the college football playoff. Like, It's generally the same teams that get up there. But I'll say this, man, like, Ohio State is going to be awesome. Like, they're going to be a great team this year. But Michigan's not going to fall off that much. Like, they are a ground-and-pound, play-good defense-type team. And, yeah, they lost some guys to the NFL, but they replaced them, too. So, yeah, if you're looking at somebody, it's like, basically, if you're looking to play the field like everyone else but Ohio State, Michigan, solid play there, man.
Alan Bell is with us, CBS. Okay, before we let you go, an NFL team that didn't make the playoffs last year that you would sprinkle a little bit on to make the playoffs?
Ooh, that is an excellent question. All right, I mean, the Colts is the easy answer, and I'm not saying that they're going to win the AFC South, but I think that they're going to be better than what they were last year. Man, that might be the best game. Like that might be what I have for you. Like I don't see, you know, a ton of other teams like that were poor, like making a big jump. Like I don't trust, you know, a lot of people are going to be able to draw close to the AFC West. I don't trust that. It's too difficult. I don't see, you know, really, you know, the AFC East. I mean, I think Buffalo is going to win that division. I think Miami's going to be pretty good. Like, keep an eye there. Other than that, man, like, I think it's going to be kind of chalky. Like, I thought back to you. Like, do you guys have a better answer? Because I'd love to bet it. Like, I just don't have anything great to come to.
There were a couple of teams. We kicked around a couple of teams yesterday. Mm-hmm. A lot of them in the AFC. The AFC is so deep. And I don't know how the odds, like, Alan, if I were to say, you know, something crazy like the Jaguars or the Carolina Panthers.
The Jags would I get, plus 450 is not.
Yeah, I'm guessing I would get a lot better odds, right, if I took a little more risk that way. Whereas a team like the Colts, who probably felt like they should have made it last year,
Baltimore,
or the Chargers, or Baltimore. Those are safer plays for sure, but you probably don't get the odds.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Like, I mean, yeah, you're going to – it's going to be tough, you know, on somebody like Baltimore. And, you know, I find the AFC North so fascinating, man, because I think, like, what are we going to get out of Cincinnati? I think that they're going to be, like, on paper, that they should actually be better. But I don't think, you know, it's very, very difficult to reach that level again. We've seen year in and year out. Baltimore, they're going to be a good team. I'm not saying Pittsburgh's going anywhere, but I will say, man, that, like, every time that the public is out on Pittsburgh, that's when I bet Pittsburgh, because Mike Tomlin just knows what he's doing, but I don't know about making the playoffs. So I think your answer's there. Like, I think the answer to this question is that you're not going to get huge value, but that's for a reason, and it's smarter, like you said, to roll, you know, with a team like Baltimore, team like the Colts. Like, don't look for value huge in this one. Just take what makes sense.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun, Alan. I'm glad that football season is finally here, and always good to talk to you. Appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
Man, I look forward to it. Good to talk to you guys as well. Have a great day.
Alan Bell, CBS Sports, joining us, Sportsline as well, talking a little sports betting with you as Week Zero is here for college football. Coming up next, a big brawl in Los Angeles. Could there be a suspension from it? We will discuss that. Plus, we'll have Panic at the Disco tickets to give away, our trivia question of the day. That's all coming up. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
All right, so, you know, the first thing I would say is we did get a bunch of good work against these guys over 2 days. Missed a little bit at the end. Thing I'm glad about, I don't know exactly what instigated it. I think in some instances, you know, teams defending each other, and fortunately my understanding is nobody got hurt, and we'll move on from it. So, not going to make a bigger deal than what it is. Not going to look at point fingers on who did what, but I think just like Zach would say, I expect our guys to defend their teammates, vice versa. There are certain things you just don't know exactly what occurred, but I am glad that my understanding is nobody got injured, and that's the most important thing, and we'll move on, and we'll look at, we got enough stuff done to be able to evaluate it.
There you go, Sean McVay after practice yesterday in Cincinnati, joint practice with the Bengals, as Aaron Donald goes a little nuts, swings the helmet, a la Myles Garrett a few years ago, and practice ends early, but McVay saying that, to his knowledge, nobody got hurt, and you move on. But should you move on? Now, the league can't do anything because this wasn't during a game, but had this happened during a game, you know, we saw it. Myles Garrett got suspended 6 games because it was an indefinite suspension that ultimately was 6 games.
It was a huge deal.
Yeah.
Again, the NFL, this is outside of their jurisdiction, so to speak. There's nothing they can do. I mean, it wasn't written in a it wasn't collectively bargained, so they can't do anything.
But the team could. You know, the Rams could.
Yeah, but the Rams are not going to do anything. I mean, but like I discussed with Willie, it's just like those unwritten rules. In baseball, you don't swing a bat at nobody. Don't charge the mound with a bat. If you're going to charge the mound, just charge it. Go do what you need to do. In hockey, you drop the gloves. You don't then pick up your hockey stick and start whacking people. In football, you don't use your helmet. Now, you may snatch it off somebody and throw it, but you don't then start using it as a weapon. I don't care if it's a game or practice. That's just a written rule, because you can seriously hurt someone if you hit them just right, or you could break your own hand by swinging helmets. It's just one of those deals. But again, NFL can't do anything about it. McVay is right. We're just trying to put it behind us as quickly as possible and then move on. Luckily, like you said, didn't no one get hurt.
I hear what McVay's saying. That's exactly what he should say, because it's not like you're going to punish your own player. Now, if it were somebody other than Aaron Donald, right? If it's a third string guy that's probably going to be cut next week, You think they would have made an example out of him?
Yeah, right?
Hey,
cut him
we don't
already.
Tolerate that kind of thing on our team, etc. But because it's Aaron Donald, it probably changes the circumstances. But what's interesting to me is when you say the NFL can't do anything. Okay, let's take it to the next level. If Aaron Donald had connected with somebody who wasn't wearing a helmet and smashed him right in the face and broken his nose or something,
that would have been a civil suit.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is what happens if something is on tape that is really bad? Like, Sean McVay could fall back on, nobody got hurt, so, hey, and, you know, what I think he's saying between the lines, it had to start for some reason. We're not going to even try to go into what one of the Bengals maybe did to set off Aaron Donald, which was a big part of the Myles Garrett thing. Remember, that was the center of it, and it didn't end up mattering. Myles Garrett still paid an enormous price. And we don't know what Mason Rudolph – they couldn't prove what Mason Rudolph may or may not have said
right
in the moment there that set off Myles Garrett. They said, well, that doesn't justify it. So, like, I'm saying, like, I know that in the CBA you can't punish somebody for what happens in practice, but it's on tape. Like, if a guy actually got injured or injured badly, what would be the repercussions?
The NFL would be forced to do something, even though it's not collectively bargained.
Or they would basically tell the Rams, we highly encourage you to suspend him.
Because if the NFL doesn't do anything, someone gets hurt, you know, broken nose, broken orbital bone, then it would become a civil suit.
I'll tell you this, though. If I'm Les Snead and I'm Sean McVay, I'm pulling him into the office, closing the door, and having a little come to Jesus. Because he's one of the best players. He's the best defensive player in the National Football League. He's gotten paid a lot of money, including recently. He's one of the leaders on that team, and he sure as hell didn't look like it yesterday. And
regardless of whether you defending your player,
and
you
if I'm them,
him a different way.
I'm pissed. Like, no matter what, like you have to know where the line is, and I understand the heat of the moment. We've all been in the heat of the moment. We've all been mad, but you gotta find that little voice in your head that says, "Hey, stop," because this, like you said. Mm-hmm. If this is a third-string guy, he was cut the moment he swung the first helmet.
They cut him.
And nobody's going to – I mean, it's a story, but it goes away a lot quicker. The fact that it's Aaron Donald is – it's not going to go away.
But the Rams are not going to do anything. They probably pulled him inside, you know, the office and said, hey, listen, you got to set a better example for the young guys. That's probably what their words were. You know, hey, listen, Aaron, you got to set a better example for the younger guys. We can't do this because, to my knowledge, he hasn't shown, you know, this before in practice and definitely not in the game. So it's one of those things where McVay pulls him into the office and they talk to him and say, listen, these are the things you can't do because these younger players are watching you. I get defending your teammates, and I want you to do that.
Have no issue
every day, all day, if something like that happens. But you can't then start, you know, swinging helmets, because now that young guy think he can do the same thing too.
Well, right. What have the Bengals said? I haven't seen anything.
I haven't heard anything.
I haven't really
from
seen anything.
Because
they
play each other, and it's on NFL Network.
Well, the rest will be watching it very closely.
He and Zach Taylor, Sean McVay, obviously very close, you know, good friends. So that's where a lot of this came from, you know, to do this joint practice in the game and everything. But, oh, yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, it's still going to be a story. And, you know, Derek.
I mean, it's a violent action that you see on tape. Like, if it weren't on tape or people were sort of buzzing about it behind the scenes – then that'd be one thing, but it's always something that we talk about. When somebody's caught on tape,
it changes
everything. And you can't see exactly who he's hitting, what he's hitting, where he's striking, but he's coming down with so much force in that. I just feel like there's got to be something. there should be some, even if it's Aaron Donald going to the podium and saying, you know what, I lost my cool. That was bad. I should not have done that. I want to let everybody know that that's not acceptable, what I did. Mm-hmm. Like, that would help, I think. But yeah, if nobody says, I don't think you should just turn the page and nothing happens. Nobody says anything like Sean McVay, hey, we're going to move on. No.
No.
That's different than a regular ball.
I am with you, Willie. He should be
held accountable
encouraged.
On some
he
level.
Should be encouraged to address it, get it over with, and move on.
Yeah, you apologize.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you do. Derek, you were a fiery player. Mm-hmm. You had moments in your career, not to that extent, obviously, mm-hmm. but that, you know, a little pushing and shoving and chirping and trash talking and things like that. But you knew where the line was and knew that you can have that heat of the moment, you know, battle, but you also knew that, you know, basically what I'm asking is, how did you control yourself from knowing that, okay, I can't hurt the team? As Vrabel likes to say, don't do dumb stuff to hurt the team.
Well, I mean, I've been in some pushing match and shoving matches and you know,
Cortland Finnegan remembers those.
And grabbing, you know, helmets or shoulder pads, but it was just after it was done, after like the refs came in or something and broke it up, I was done with it.
Yeah.
You know, it was just okay, let's play. I'm fine, you know. Because I don't want to keep my attention on that particular thing because now it throws me off with everything else.
Yeah.
But I never wanted to do anything, you know, to one, hurt myself in a fight. But then, you know, you don't want anything that's going to hurt the team in the process. So, yeah, I've had my scuffles, but nothing that was to the nature of what we saw with Aaron Donald. I don't think you've seen that in NFL games other than Myles Garrett.
Well, I got to read this tweet. Mm-hmm. At Jared Stillman, the NFL doesn't have jurisdiction in practice line is so comical. So the NFL has jurisdiction for Tom Brady's cell phone, but not in practice. Also, if someone takes a handgun to practice, I'm sure the league would have jurisdiction. And Aaron Donald used the helmet as a weapon.
Well, it blatantly says in the NFL collective bargaining and NFL rules on the building, do not bring handguns in here. It has has a thing on the door. So you know not to bring a handgun inside the building, you know. So that is still the NFL's jurisdiction because those are rules. They don't have a rule for fighting during practice. They just don't. They figure, you know, the guys can handle that themselves or the coaches can handle it themselves. The NFL is not in the business of trying to go and watch every practice. If that's the case, they'd be fining guys and suspending guys for fighting one another.
Yeah.
You know, so the NFL is not in the business of sort of coming into your house and sort of, you know, managing what you do on a practice field in regards to, you know, fighting. That's just, and I'm sure they're not going to. They don't want to unless, and I said this to Willie, this could be an example of moving forward in the new collective bargaining. The NFL say they put in a stipulation or a rule in there. Say, hey, listen, if you're practicing with another team and you get into a fight, if you use the helmet as a weapon, we will either suspend you a game or fine you. I can see that coming.
Yeah. Well, because now they have a great example of how to use it.
Exactly.
Coming up next, your chance to win Panic at the Disco tickets, but you must answer our Titans trivia question of the day. Plus, Willie will have his three fantasy topics of the day as well. It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, is back. Sign up today at thegamenashville.com or the 102.5 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We're broadcasting live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. And we'll get your trivia question. Panic at the Disco tickets on the line. You'll answer this off the air. Nick Kieser will take your answer to see Panic at the Disco Saturday, October 8th at Bridgestone Arena. Willie?
Okay.
What you got?
I like how some of the trivia questions that have come up today were ones that we've referred to in past weeks or even at Trivia Night the other night, which was a huge success.
Great time.
Titans trivia. Now, here's the stretch. For the Titans angle of this, I'm going to say they've got a big decision to make. As we've been talking about throughout the day, Tuesday is cut day. Are they keeping the three quarterbacks? Is Malik Willis in the discussion of being number two? Will they stick with Logan Woodside, number two, and make Malik Willis number three? So I have a backup quarterback decision question from the past. So it's not directly a Titans question. This will be test. I actually heard Charlie Weiss talking about this on satellite radio on the NFL channel. Told a great story. And some of you might know this. So this is the question. 2001, we all remember the game where Tom Brady made his entrance. Drew Bledsoe is playing against, I believe it was the Jets. Mm-hmm. And he scrambles late, gets hit hard, has to come out of the game. Who steps in? It's Tom Brady. And the Tom Brady story begins. Mm-hmm. Right? Nobody had ever heard of Tom Brady as an NFL quarterback. You're like, oh, yeah, that's the guy from Michigan. I used to watch him play. And then the legend begins from there. But Charlie Weiss told a great story. During that year, it was Tom Brady's second year. He had been the third-string quarterback the year before. There was a competition behind Drew Bledsoe to be the backup. It was between Tom Brady and this quarterback, who they paid $1 million guaranteed signing bonus to bring in to back up Bledsoe. And according to Charlie Weiss, who was the offensive coordinator, he said it was a very close race between this guy and Brady, and they decided to go with Brady to be the backup. Otherwise, it would have been this guy coming in for Drew Bledsoe against the Jets. So that's the old what if. Like, what if they had gone with
this
veteran?
A name we know.
So they brought in a veteran guy.
It's a veteran guy who had played with the Dolphins. Here are your hints. He had played with
the
Dolphins.
Well, you can't give him all these hints.
Well, this is a hard question.
This is tough. I admit, this is tough. He had played with the Dolphins before signing with the Patriots, and he later played with the Kansas City Chiefs. So who is this backup that would have been Drew Bledsoe's backup that would have blocked Tom Brady from ever starting? That's a what if. Like, what if this guy comes in instead of Tom Brady? When would Tom Brady have become Tom Brady? We'll never know the answer. 615-737-1025. Who was the guy that Tom Brady beat out to be Drew Bledsoe's backup in 2001? 615-737-1025. He played for the Miami Dolphins before, and he played a couple years eventually as Tom Brady's backup, and then went on to Kansas City and started some games for the Chiefs. 615-737-1025 to win the Panic at the Disco tickets.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to this.
You want another hint?
Well, let's see if we – do we have a winner?
Have a winner already?
We do.
We have a winner.
Oh!
Okay.
Oh,
didn't take long. Here's your other hint. His brother is was also a quarterback and is a very well-known college football analyst.
His brother was a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They both played at the University of Washington, both brothers.
I still don't know.
You still don't know?
Hmm.
He was
you
also
don't know Derek?
No, I know.
He also was part of a Hard Knocks series when Herm Edwards was the coach of the Chiefs. He was a quarterback on that Chiefs team.
You're gonna say it, I'm gonna go, ah. Go ahead and say it.
Damon Heward.
His brother Brock.
His brother Brock.
All right.
So Damon Heward could have been the guy coming in for Drew Bledsoe.
I never would have gotten that.
And at the time, remember, nobody was considering Tom Brady as a factor, right? Yeah. You just didn't know about him back then. He'd been on the bench the whole year before. He threw, I don't know, two passes or something his first year. Got into one game. But they decided, hey, let's go with Brady. Let's not go with the guy that we paid more money. That mm-hmm. was Charlie Weiss's big moral of the story mm-hmm. is it's kind of like with Dylan Raidens. Do you feel like you've got to have the guts to say, even though we paid the money for Heward, mm-hmm. and at the time $1 million signing bonus was significant for a backup quarterback way back 20 years ago, mm-hmm. or do we say, let's go with the young guy because we feel a little bit better about him? It's like Dylan Raidens, he's a second-round pick. how many more chances do you get before you just say, you know what, we don't care where he was drafted, he's just not good enough?
Well, it's not even like Dylan Raiden's. It's Malik Willis and Woods, Logan Woodside.
That's why I asked the question, yeah, because I thought it related to the Willis-Woodside thing too.
Yeah, it's do we – if the competition is that close, then we might as well go with the younger guy that we drafted in the third round.
Willie, we might forego your fantasy questions because he's going down this road again, and I like this.
Oh, you want to skip out on your fantasy?
No, no, no. We can get to your fantasy.
No,
but I'm just
okay.
Saying because you brought that was a good trivia question, but it does relate to what we have been talking about with Malik Willis and Logan Woodside. Who do you see the Titans making their backup? And if so, if indeed, you know, Logan is the backup, then do they keep three quarterbacks? Well, they would have to keep three quarterbacks.
The only scenario where there's two quarterbacks is if Malik Willis is the backup.
Exactly. And if the competition is that close, which I feel it is, then why not go with the younger guy?
So do you think come next week when they make final roster cuts, you think Malik Willis is the backup quarterback?
Yeah. I think he's done enough. Unless he just – you know, just tank it in this third game, which I don't believe he will. But if he shows, you know, some progression, then I think I think in their mind, they've made the choice. But I think Saturday will solidify it for them that Malik Willis is our backup quarterback.
Okay. There you go. Jonathan is our winner. He wins the tickets to Panic at the Disco after answering the question. Damon Huard.
What if Damon Huard had come off the bench instead of Tom Brady that fateful day?
We wouldn't have TB12.
Life would look a lot different.
Yeah.
I mean,
the story would have been different. Who knows when? You got to believe a guy as great as Tom Brady.
Yeah, eventually.
Somewhere along the line, he would have come in. Would it have been with the Patriots? Like, maybe Bledsoe comes back and he's the starter the rest of the year. And
Well, and here's the other part of that whole what if scenario. What if Belichick goes back to Bledsoe for the AFC Championship game?
Yeah.
In the Super Bowl. I mean, remember, that was – or was it the Super Bowl or the AFC Championship?
It was the
Super
AFC
Bowl.
Championship game when Brady came out and Bledsoe came in.
And so then the question was, does he go back to Bledsoe for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, they do hit that on the – what's the
man in the arena.
Yeah, he talks a lot about that.
Big time.
In there, yeah.
Big time.
And how it affected Drew Bledsoe.
But speaking of Brady being the third string, I laughed at when the Madden ratings came out for the rookies a few weeks ago. Brady, I'll see if I can find it. Brady screenshotted from his rookie year on Madden, and his name wasn't even in it. It was just quarterback 12.
QB 12.
QB 12.
There you go.
That's where it was. Okay, I promise. We'll get to your fantasy topics coming up next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deals is from Seafood Sensation. Seafood Sensation is a lively restaurant in the heart of Nashville that uses the best ingredients and provide a great atmosphere. Get half off a $25 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Stillman & Company coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Jared and Caroline will give their final takes on what to expect in the final preseason game. But I saw this during the break on Twitter. It was brought to my attention that Florida A&M is scheduled to play UNC tomorrow in North Carolina in week zero. But the game is currently in jeopardy as there are several, as Pete Thamel is reporting, more than 10 players for Florida A&M that could be ruled ineligible. So they may be shorthanded, and so therefore the game is in jeopardy of even being played. An expected decision later today. Here's the tweet. FAMU still hasn't boarded a flight to North Carolina for their game at UNC tomorrow. There's an expectation that FAMU will be playing shorthanded as a significant amount of players, more than 10, are facing eligibility issues. Expected decision later today.
Ouch.
Wow. FAMU is a real pickle there, huh?
The Rattlers could be rattled.
Yeah.
Oh, come
sorry.
On.
Sorry, dad joke.
They got, man. Well.
But now, if you know, you
got to go to class.
Everybody's excited. You got games to bet on and stuff. And you might, like, if you're one of the players on those teams too, you get all geeked up all summer to play, and you may not have a
but
game.
But shouldn't they, my thing is, didn't they know this was a possibility like weeks ago?
I would think so.
Yeah, because like, summer school has been over with a couple of weeks, right? I would think. Ugh.
But I mean, in typical NCAA fashion, I mean, they come up with things late, so.
Like, man, oh, crap. Just, like,
but this is the NCAA doing this? This isn't the school?
I don't know. I just wanted to probably, make a joke.
This is a school thing, right? The school determines whether you're eligible.
So you got 10 players, 10 or more players that might be in jeopardy of not playing due to eligibility. How many players do they have on a roster then? Do they not have enough like backups?
Yeah, I was going to say.
You know, to be able to at least make the trip and, you know.
Put a team out there.
But I guess if it's a lot of your starters on both sides. But still, depth, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they don't have the numbers that other colleges have.
Yeah.
You know.
So, interesting one to keep track of there. The Nolensville team gets the big win last night. Now they got to face Hawaii again.
That'll be tough. But look, whatever happens against Hawaii tomorrow, and they got a complete game last night, so they will have, I think, if I've been following their rotation, my man T-Rex. Have you seen T-Rex? he's a great pitcher, number one, and he's got the great kid look. Like, he looks like he's right out of the movies. You know, he has pitched brilliantly for them. So you take your shot. Hawaii has got the loaded team. They're just bigger, stronger, more developed. And unfortunately, that's sometimes what happens in Little League. The biggest, strongest guys. And these guys are skilled, too. Hawaii, they've got it all. But what I really like, regardless of what happens with Nolensville, and it was on display last night, they really don't have giants. Like, Ingle Martin's son, Wright, is a pretty big kid. But by and large, they have sort of normal size kids who are just really skilled. They had a kid that was, they put, you know, height, weight, 5'0", 80 pounds, 5'1", 90 pounds. Yeah, and this one kid stepped up there and roped one for a base hit, key hit in the game.
But don't you think it's harder for, you know, in a situation like that, it's harder for, like as adults, we can, if we're on a team sport, we can play a team and they may be better than us, and then we can, you know, a week later we can come back and play that team when we still think in our minds, okay, we got an opportunity to win, because no matter what, if we do some things differently, you know, we should be able to at least make it closer than what it was, or we got the possibility of winning. In Little League, it's almost like they're defeated because you've already saw this team play. They're beating everybody else, and then I think it would be harder to get little kids up to play a second game again.
It's a great lesson, I think, mentally, right? Uh-huh. Of how do you go in knowing you're the underdog?
Exactly, right? Like, it's a huge underdog.
The Miracle on Ice team got destroyed by the Soviets 10-0, right, in a game just a few weeks before the Olympics, and then pulled the upset. So maybe you watch Miracle tonight if you're Nolensville. But I want to give those guys a lot of credit. And William Satinoff, the kid we interviewed the other day.
He's polished.
He's polished. And he played a great game at shortstop last night. He made a couple of great plays. I just love the level of play. Last night was just a good baseball game. You know, both teams, there weren't errors all over the place. Mm-hmm. Smart pitching, not a lot of walks, not a lot of mistakes, some good decisions on the bases. I just really enjoyed watching the game last night. So good luck to them regardless of what happens, but I just think those kids are on a good path. They've had a great experience at Williamsport.
See, if it was football, you can do a bunch of onside kicks and
Do
stuff to kind of help you out in baseball.
Not so much.
Yeah, you just got to throw it in
exactly.
there. Throw it in there.
We had our poll question up. How many Titans games do you plan on attending this season? And zero or watching on TV is at 50%. Now, 1-5 games at 33.5%, 5-8 games at 16.3%.
So half of our listeners are not planning to go on a single trip to the game.
Nope.
They're just going to watch on TV.
Wow. Man.
Now, that surprised me. I
on Amazon Prime.
I now have confirmation.
At Willie's house.
My daughter Evie says, yes, we have Amazon Prime.
Thank goodness.
So
thank
this
you,
is what
Evie.
You need to do. You need to go get
it. I just didn't know we had it.
Just go get the Fire TV stick. You can get one for like $15-$20.
Okay.
And just plug it in, and then your dumb TV becomes a smart TV.
And then you don't have to use that HDMI cord stretching from the couch all the way to the television, man, getting in people's way.
I mean, because we know Stanley likes to knock stuff over. He'll trip over it and take the whole thing down.
Yeah, man.
The other question is, why have my kids not been just like beating me up to get this done and not?
Because they have what they need.
Yeah,
because
they probably have it in their rooms. And
exactly.
Well, they just like to watch. They watch whatever they watch away from. They like to just chill in their room and watch. But see, that's our thing. We all watch on the computer.
They don't
want to
hang out
with
you.
They don't want to hang out with dad.
Yeah, you're not cool enough. You just prove that you're not cool enough, Willie. Goodness.
I got to up my game.
Final thoughts on the preseason. Oh, and I was going to bring this up earlier, and I know Stillman and company, they're going to get into this too. But is it a big deal that Tannehill hasn't played and you see guys like Brady and Matt Ryan that have played?
No.
Look, is that really concerning? I said from the start, I was like, look, a few years ago it was just common knowledge that the starters were going to play a little bit, but now it just seems to be very accepted. If you don't want to play, don't play.
Well, it's not a big deal that Ryan's not playing. As long as he's, you know, ready for the opener against the Giants, that's all that anyone really cares about. Because even if he was playing, he doesn't – I'm sure Robert Woods wouldn't play. Treylon Burks possibly is not playing. So that's two of your wide receivers gone. Your right tackle is still iffy, even though, you know, Nicholas Petit-Fierre, I believe in him more so than Raidens, and then Raidens is in the inside. No, I'm not putting him out there. I am not putting Ryan Tannehill out there to possibly get decapitated. No.
Yeah, that would not be good.
Yeah,
Gover on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. They are no longer dad jokes, Willie. They are henceforth to be known as non-smart TV owner jokes.
Amy from Arkansas, Willie's kids have failed him.
No, don't blame that on Willie's kids. That's Willie.
Henry says, Herb Brooks coaching a little league team would be worth a trip to Williamsport, however much a ticket would cost.
Mm.
He's right. I think he's right. That would be interesting.
Yeah. We'll see how the guys handle it tomorrow.
If they can pull off the okay, if they pull off the victory, would it be the greatest upset in sport history?
That's a good question. I would say
I think Herb Brooks would have something to say about that.
I don't know if it'd be like miracle.
This is our time.
It would be a sizable upset though, uh-huh. And we have seen it in Little League. But what this team doesn't have, they don't have the one really big pitcher that brings the heat. You know, that's traditionally how the upsets happen. You have the one pitcher who is just a complete fireballer. Mm-hmm. Think back when we were kids when you would play the Chinese Taipei, which could happen again. Like, the mm-hmm. world is going to have their team. And those kids were always bigger for some reason. But every now and then, the U.S. team would have the big kid that would be able to overpower those guys. And so Nolansville really doesn't have that pitcher on the mound. So they're going to have to do it really with top line precision.
Hey, Willie, if you cut off your beard and everything, maybe you can maybe you can get in there. Hey, I'm Willie. I'm 12 years old.
Check your birth certificate to have a fake ID. Who's this big lanky 6'3 guy?
Oh, and they still would get hits off of you.
I still wouldn't throw hard enough, I don't think.
That's going to do it for our show, but stick around. Stillman & Company is coming up next. Should Logan Woodside and Malik Willis be battling for the backup quarterback job? They will discuss that. We got into it today, so stick around. We'll see you Monday at 10, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.